At JAG Church, we're committed to three things we think are essential to becoming a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, a fully developed follower of Jesus Christ. The first is worship, the kind of encounter together of the presence of God that we've experienced already this morning. A second is relationship, which is why life groups exist. You do not need to know everybody at JAG Church, but you need to know somebody at JAG Church. Life groups are a great way to make that happen. And for what it's worth, it is not too late to plug into our current semester. We're just a week or two into an 8-week semester, and you are welcome to be a part of any of our active life groups beginning now. A third essential is mission. Using the gifts, the capacities, the abilities that God has given you to be part of what God is doing redemptively throughout all the earth, right? So this month, that finds expression particularly, specifically at JAG, through Trunk or Treat, which is a way to connect with our community and just let them know that there is a welcome home waiting for them at JAG Church. I just want to keep those things before you, worship, relationship, mission, because that is at the core of what we think God is calling us to as a fellowship. Now that theme of welcome home, that theme of welcoming people into this fellowship and into what God is doing in and through us is our focus these days. And one of the things we're asking ourselves about that is this simple question. What kind of home are we inviting others into? I don't know how often you entertain in your home. Debbie and I don't seem to get to entertain a lot, although we are kind of hosting a weekly life group at our house this semester. But how many, you ever like, okay, Joe and Susan are coming over, and oh my, look at the condition of this house. All right, let's do it this way. How many of you keep your house spotless every day? Who said me? Really? That's a little obsessive in my mind, all right? Right? But somebody's going to come over. What do you got to do? I mean, at our house, right, you got to run the vacuum cleaner because the dog hair is everywhere. It's just there. So you do that, you know, and you try to get the dishes out of the sink and into the dishwasher or out of the dishwasher and into the cupboard or whatever. You try to make sure the stacks of paper that, you know, you've been working on all week or tucked away. You make at least the main part pretty so that people know that you've been expecting them in your world. What kind of home are we welcoming people into? And we're asking ourselves of that about JAG Church. What's this place like? And so we're taking some time to try to describe both who we are and as well who we aspire to be. What kind of church? And by that I mean people, not the building, not bricks and mortars, but bodies, right? What kind of people who reflect and express Christ in our world are we striving to become? And so far we've said about ourselves that our blueprint is Scripture, that here we value Scripture as God's Word for all people, that it provides daily direction for living and confident hope for the future. We've said that our foundation, the thing that everything rises and falls on, is faith, that we value faith as the foundation and the heart of true Christian living. We've said that our raw material, guess what, is you. That you are the raw materials that God uses to build this temple he is building. That people, here's a good amen opportunity, that people matter. And because of that, we value people, all people, is created in the image of God, valued by Christ at the cost of his life, worthy of love and service. Today I want to tell you that our framework is relationship. Our framework is relationship. Now we're using the analogy of the elements required to build a physical home. To build a house, you need blueprints, you need a foundation, you need the right materials. And I confess that this is one spot where the analogy breaks down just a little bit, only because I haven't yet quite found the right phrase, the right language to capture what I'm talking about. And probably because some of you will want to say amen to this, probably because I'm a little too technical for my own good sometimes. When I say framework, I think about the wall studs and the floor joists and the roof trusses and that framework, a person might argue, is really analogous to the organizational structure of the church. This person or this role connected to this person or perhaps this role in this particular way. That's the structure of the organization. That's the framework. And if you wanted to make that argument, you wouldn't be wrong. But the church, the church, this entity that Christ is building, the church has a unique quality in that it is not just brick and mortar or boxes on a flow chart. It's not static. It's not lifeless. It's not inert. While it requires an organizational structure, that in itself does not a church make, because the church is not first an organization. The church is an organism. It is a living, breathing entity. We are not just stones. We are living stones. We talked about a couple of weeks ago. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. And the thing that ties us together, if you want to finesse this analogy down to the sawdust on the floor, right? Technically, maybe we're talking about the nails or the screws or the fasteners, the adhesive that holds together the studs and the joints and the trusses. All of that is relationship. Everybody just say relationship. While an organizational flowchart might provide the structure, our framework is relationship. The thing that knits us together as the body of Christ is not where we fall on an organizational chart, but because we are in relationship. What I said about the blueprint, the foundation, the raw materials, I say about this framework of relationship, nothing matters more. Nothing matters more. Just a couple of things to lay some groundwork. First, kind of obvious, but help me here, relationship begins with Christ. Relationship begins with Christ. Colossians chapter 1, Paul quotes from what was probably a hymn that was already known and sung by the earliest believers, the earliest Christians, a hymn in honor of Jesus. And this hymn says about Jesus, this is Colossians 1:17, He is before all things. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Everything else has a starting point, right? Everything else has a beginning. But before anything else, before all things, He simply is. He is before all things were. So everything exists in relationship to Him. So much so that only in Him do all things hold together. And the declaration of relationship continues. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church, that's relationship. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, that's relationship. So that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness, all the fullness of who God is, dwell in the person of Christ. And here's another statement of relationship. Through Him to reconcile to Himself all things. Everybody say all things. All things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, to reconcile all things. How? By making peace through His blood shed on the cross. So if Jesus is about anything at all, He's all about relationship. And not even just relationship with you or me or us, but relationship with all of created order. Things on earth, things in heaven, reconciled to Him by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. And it's not surprising. It shouldn't surprise us that Jesus is all about relationship, because that is the nature of God Himself. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who lives eternally, who has always lived and will forever live in this harmonious, completely harmonious relationship that we don't know how to describe apart from the word Trinity. We can't explain it. We can just describe it. And there it is, harmony eternally in relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everything stands, everything exists in relationship to Christ, because in all things He has supremacy. But because He has made peace through His blood shed on the cross, because, here's a quote from Ephesians you know I love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. Because of that, we stand reconciled in relationship with the God against whom we had formerly rebelled. We are at peace, we have peace, because He made peace. Relationship begins with Christ. But And what I'm fixing to say, I think I've come to understand better over the last 4 or 5 years. And it's what's behind those times when I talk to you about salvation in terms of coming under the reign of Christ, but also daring to be counted among the people of God, daring to be counted among the people, daring to say, I'm one of them, right? I'm one with them. We're in this together. I am building my identity within this body of believers. Relationships begin with Christ, but in Christ, relationship extends beyond Christ to the depth and the breadth of the body He is forming. I'm describing a faith that I think stands in contrast to the kind of individualized, privatized, even isolated faith that so many think is Christianity. This faith that just lets me pray a sinner's prayer, lets me follow the pastor in a repeat after me prayer, and then lets us go on with our lives as if we've ticked the checkbox and that's all there is to it. We're set for heaven. As if my profession of faith in Jesus Christ, who said He would build His church, as if my profession of faith wasn't calling me to engage in a calling bigger than myself and identify with a people who together in Christ are greater than just me, myself, and I and my little private faith. Relationships begin with Christ, but in Christ, relationship extends beyond Christ to the depth and breadth of this body He is forming. And I say that, and I understand that we have relationships beyond the body of Christ. We ought to. How will the world know the love of Jesus Christ apart from that? But what we're talking about here is just what kind of home it is that we are building. What kind of home we are welcoming people into. What kind of people together we are set on becoming so that we can say graciously and effectively, welcome home. And I'm saying our blueprint is Scripture, our foundation is faith, our raw material is you, and our framework is relationship. The thing that ties us together is a common bond, a common bond we share with each other because of the common bond we share with Christ. The shared commitments we make to each other because of and in keeping with the commitments we've each made to Christ. It's patterned in Scripture and founded on faith. We, the living stones of this living temple of the Holy Spirit, are tied together. Oh, that would be so. Are tied together in relationship. That is the framework on which everything else hangs. And the stronger... You can say, this is obvious, Pastor. I know. That's why you pay me big bucks. The stronger and healthier the relationships, the stronger and healthier the church. The stronger and healthier the relationships, the stronger and healthier the welcome home we are able to extend to a whole world just outside these doors who do so desperately need somebody to show them what Jesus really looks like. People matter. Have I mentioned that? A few times. People matter. All people. And because people matter, relationships matter. Our framework is relationship. So let me give you, and when I say let me give you four markers, some of you are going to think I'm going on forever. I'm almost done. Almost is a relative term. I bet I'm further along than some of you fear I am. Let me just tell you, you're no longer a slave to fear. You're a child of God. All right, so relationships matter. Our framework is relationship. Relationships begin with Christ, but they extend beyond Christ to include this whole body, this people He is forming. We're bound to one another because we're bound to Christ. What does that look like? Four markers for our healthy relationships. Four qualities that I long to see characterize every relationship within JAG Church. First of all, relationships that are grace-based. I mean, I say that, and part of me says, what else is there, right? What other kind of relationship could possibly exist in this body we're all a part of by nothing but the abounding grace of God anyhow, right? Am I right about it? But I am aware of how often, how easily we put up our own kind of little private checklist of expectations on relationship with others, how we load up with things we expect other people to do before they're going to get any attention or relationship from us. She didn't say hello. He didn't shake my hand. And did you see what he was wearing? I know, but did you see what she was wearing? The devil himself wouldn't be seen in that. I'd be the first guy. I'd be the first guy to argue for relationships of accountability when a relationship of that nature has been agreed to by both parties. You know what I'm saying there? Sometimes we're holding people accountable to stuff they haven't asked us to hold them accountable for. That didn't work. You can only hold somebody accountable to the degree that they are willing to be accountable. I would be the first guy to agree with you that we're called, Hebrews says this, to spur one another on towards love and good deeds, to encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. I just think it's worth taking a minute to ask ourselves what that looks like exactly. And grace-based relationships, I think, are at the foundation of this thing. You know the story of John chapter 8, the woman caught in adultery, right? You know the story? How many of you know there was no grace there until Jesus stepped into the conversation? Everybody was looking at somebody else's sin and completely unwilling to look at their own. It's all set up as a trap, you know that. The accusers say to Jesus, "This woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. Now what do you say?" And Jesus stoops to write on the ground, and we don't know what he wrote. The scriptures don't tell us what he wrote, but I believe he wrote, "People matter." Jesus stoops to write on the ground, and then he floods the conversation with grace. "Let any of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." How many of you know that in the face of that, you got nothing? You want to reframe the conversation. You want to disarm accusers. You want to reset the scoreboard. How about you just pour bucketfuls of grace into your world? There is plenty to go around. Jesus gives the woman herself a fresh start. "Neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Neither do I condemn you." Wait a minute. Are there no conditions on that? Or no quid pro quos? What's the scene from Aladdin, the movie? Blah, 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 when the genie pops out of the bottle. Jesus gives the woman a fresh start. "Neither do I condemn you. Now go. Leave your life of sin." Pours grace into her life to the point that she can live a new life. Grace-based. At JAG Church, we value relationships that are grace-based. At JAG Church, we value relationships that are authentic. Now, if there were ever a word that's an overused buzzword in our day, that might be it. Authentic. All I know is that, another great movie reference here, as Captain Barbossa says to Elizabeth Swann aboard his ship in the Pirates of the Caribbean, "There's no need to stand on ceremony and no need to impress anyone." I might just have a movie marathon this afternoon. All my favorite films. There's no need to stand on ceremony and no call to impress anyone. All I know is, as was spoken to Mozart in Amadeus, a little modesty might suit you better, right? All I know is, as was spoken by Paul in Colossians, your attitude should be the same of that as Jesus Christ, who humbled himself. All I know is, as was spoken by Jesus himself, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. There's no need to stand on ceremony. There's no need to impress anyone. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Be who you are because it's okay. At JAG Church, we value relationships that are grace-based, that are authentic. Here's a fresh one, that are encouraging. Come on, how tough is that? I heard somebody say yesterday, different conversation, isn't it easy to be cynical? And I thought, that's true, right? It's easy to be caustic, it's easy to be critical, it's easy to be thoughtless, it's easy to be negative. Anybody can do that. I want something different for JAG Church. I want something different for JAG Church. I want everybody who walks through the doors of this church to immediately be encouraged. I want everybody who walks through the doors of this church or comes in contact with someone who is a part of this church to immediately sense a lifting in their spirit, to immediately know, I've come to the right place. I've come to the right person. I am so glad I'm here. I am so glad I did. And that kind of experience is not just up to Jesus. It's up to us. It's up to us. Therefore, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage and build one another up, even as you are already doing. Ephesians 4:29. My kids know this verse. We used to make them hold hands and quote it to each other when they'd fuss. Let no corrupt communication, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building up the one in need and bringing grace to those who listen. Whoo! What if that flashed before our eyes for everything we said this week? Rewind. At JAG Church, we want relationships that are grace-based. That are authentic. Yes, that we are who we are and we're real and we're not putting on pretense for anybody. That are encouraging. I don't want people to walk away from conversation with me feeling beat up. Sometimes they do. I know that. Deb says to me all the time, you don't know how you come across to people. I say, what's it to you? No, I don't. I should just stick to my notes. She said to me a minute ago, while all this pastor appreciation, I started to say stuff. See, that's while you guys were blessing us with kind words, she turned over to me and she said, smile. I am smiling. Encouraging. Do your relationships encourage, do you encourage others in your relationships? Is that a consistent, if people are down and looking to be encouraged, is it you they're seeking out? There's some people I'm not seeking out in those situations. You know what I'm saying? If you call, I may not take your call because I don't want to talk to you. I want to be encouraged. Oh, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. What's the parameters? But only what is helpful for building up the one in need and bringing grace to those who listen. Grace-based, authentic, encouraging, and mutually beneficial relationships. I think at JAG Church, I want there ought to be just a baseline understanding that we all bring something of value to the table. We all bring something of value. You are here not because you don't have something else to do this morning, not because you're just to receive, but also because you have something to give, because you have gifts and capacities and a perspective that is valuable. Did I mention that everybody matters? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in the broader context of especially the gifts of the Spirit in the context of the worshiping church, but it applies to this. What does Paul say? What shall we say, brothers, when you come together, everyone, say everyone. Everyone has a hymn, a teaching, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. All of these must be done to build up the church. So there's a recognition that everybody brings something to the table, and everyone is encouraged and built up as a result. So what do you bring to the table? It matters. Bring it in a way that encourages. Bring it in a way that's grace-based. Bring it in a way that's authentic. One more verse. In fact, stand with me and I'll wrap it up. Talking about mutually beneficial, how you are bringing something to the table along with everyone else, which means you've got to be able to both give and receive. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, each of you should use whatever gift, everybody say whatever gift, you have received to serve others, faithfully administering faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I've told you this before, but used to be a restaurant in Springfield, Missouri called Trotters. Had a big old salad bar. That's all I remember. I don't know if they served other stuff or not, but they had this big old salad bar, and at the end of the big old salad bar was a big old block of cheese. Anybody else love cheese? Honk if you love cheeses. Big old block of cheese. You get to the end of that salad bar and you'd slice off some. I always think about that when I read this verse. God's grace, just this big old chunk of cheese, and we get to slice a little off and pass it around. Faithfully administering, faithfully distributing. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received. That assumes you have received a gift, and if you're assuming you don't have a gift, then you're misaligned with what the scriptures say about you. Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in all of its various forms. Letting God's grace show up in the gifts you have so that others are blessed and served. What kind of home are we building? What are we about? When we say, welcome home, what kind of home are we inviting people into? Our framework is relationship. Grace-based, authentic, encouraging, mutually beneficial relationships. Bow your heads with me, please. I want to invite you in just for the next few moments to bring your relationships to the Lord. I suspect there are relationships you have with people within this congregation that fall all across the spectrum. Some are delightful and continually bring you joy. Some at the other end may be challenging and difficult. But we are called to participate with Christ as He builds a church against which the gates of hell shall not prevail. And part of a church against which the gates of hell shall not prevail is a church that has strong and beautiful relationships. And the strength of relationships that we're willing to dare to share with one another becomes the strength of this body. Our relationship with Christ and our relationship with one another because of Christ. So I'm just asking you to bring that whole spectrum of relationships to Jesus right now. You may need wisdom. You may need grace yourself, some strength. You may need a refocus in your own heart. Perhaps to shift from that place of criticism or discouragement or to a place of grace and encouragement, authenticity. Let's bring ourselves to Jesus. Let me pray for us. So here we are, Jesus. We are your people. We are made whole in you. And in your wisdom, you have brought us together, members together of the body of Christ. You have not only reconciled us to yourself, but are reconciling us to one another. You are constantly growing the relationships we share with one another. So we simply acknowledge, we agree with you that relationships matter, that they are the framework for the life of a church. That as we follow the pattern of Scripture and rest on the foundation of faith, a faith, dare I say, that believes the best about others. As we recognize that we are the living stones that you are, with which you are building this living temple, we understand the beauty and the challenge and the strength, the power of relationship. And we bring the whole network of relationships we have to you. Some of us need to strengthen relationships to this body, and some of us need to find healing where relationships are strained or stressed. All of us need to concentrate on this wonder of pouring grace into our circumstances and lives and situations and relationships. taking off the masks and living authentically with one another. Finding that place where we're part of, we're a contributor to the encouragement that people feel as they connect with this body, as they experience, even from the fringes, this body. A place where we recognize that we have something to bring and something to receive. So teach us how to walk in the relationships you've called us to. Knit us together as the body of Christ, this particular expression of the body of Christ. I pray it sincerely. I pray this sincerely. Knit us together as an expression of the body of Christ so that your kingdom may come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Show up in us. Show up in us and show up through us, I pray, to the glory of your name. To the glory of your name. Savior, encourage us by your Spirit and your Word as we leave this place moment by moment and day by day this week. I pray you just make alive in us again what we experience right now, so that we might be more fully than ever before, each step along the way, the people of God, the church, the people of God. I pray it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory, and all God's people said together, amen. Amen. Church, love one another and go in the richness of His grace. God bless you. You're dismissed.